Ever felt like your body's just, you know, carrying around a bit too much baggage? Feeling sluggish, maybe just not quite right? What if there was a way, a sort of powerful natural pathway to hit the reset button, to really reclaim your energy and clarity without feeling totally swamped by all the health advice out there? Well, today on the Deep Dive, we're doing exactly that. We're plunging into the fascinating and yet often misunderstood world of fasting, specifically for healing and detoxification. We're digging into some incredible insights from a really comprehensive presentation by a leading naturopath, pulling out all the essential nuggets for you. So our mission today is to unpack the science, the practicalities of these various fasting approaches, demystify the benefits, the risks too, and look at how they could potentially support your unique journey towards, well, greater well-being. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and it's so important, isn't it, to remember what the naturopath really emphasized right from the get-go. There's absolutely no, like, one-size-fits-all magic cure here. Every single person's path is unique. So what we're sharing today, it's robust information, yes, but it's for you to consider, for your own self, within your own unique circumstances. It's all about empowering your personal health choices, really.
That focus on the individual, that's so key. So, okay, let's start right at the beginning then. What exactly is fasting in this context? And, you know, fundamentally, why would someone actually choose to do it?
Well, the expert describes it simply as the voluntary absence of food for a period, but with a very clear focus, as you said, on detoxification and healing.
Right. Tapping into our body's natural processes.
Exactly. I mean, think about what your body does every single night, assuming you haven't eaten, like, right before bed. Your body isn't spending all its energy digesting. Instead, it's actively detoxifying. It's taking in nutrients, getting rid of waste. Fasting basically just amplifies these natural internal cleanup pathways. If you're constantly eating late, your body's just too busy with digestion. It can't really get into that deep restorative detox mode.
Okay, so it's like giving the body space to do its job.
Precisely. And our naturopath highlighted two primary, really powerful purposes for fasting. The first one is pretty straightforward. Detoxification, you know, getting rid of all that excess stuff, pollutants we breathe, things we eat, even the metabolic byproducts of just, well, thinking and living. But the second purpose is, I think, truly profound: stem cell generation. Fasting, crucially, triggers your body to produce its own stem cell.
Oh, its own stem cell.
Yeah, your internal repair crew, which are absolutely fundamental for deep healing and rebuilding. So it isn't just about detox. It's actually about regeneration.
That's an amazing concept. Our bodies aren't just cleaning house. They're actively regenerating themselves from within. And the benefits go beyond just those two things, don't they?
Oh, absolutely they do. Beyond that deep cellular renewal, fasting gives your entire digestive system a much needed rest, a proper break. It's excellent for resolving inflammatory responses. And we know, don't we, inflammation is such a key marker in so many chronic conditions. Plus, it can help reduce blood sugar, increase fat metabolism. And yeah, as you said, it really promotes a healthy diet as part of that broader regeneration picture.
So what does this all mean for someone listening, practically speaking? Because, you know, there isn't just one way to fast, is there? It sounds like there are options.
Not at all. It's a whole spectrum of approaches, really. And what works brilliantly for one person might be, well, entirely unsuitable for another. It's about discovering what truly resonates with your body and your particular health goals.
Okay, so let's get into those different types then. What were the main ones our naturopath discussed? How do they differ? And what are the sort of key distinctions someone should be aware of?
Right, let's break them down. First up, we have intermittent fasting, which you often hear called time-restricted fasting as well. This basically involves cycling between periods of eating and periods of fasting. The crucial point here, and the expert really stressed this, is that it's not about continuous calorie restriction. That can lead to nutrient deficiencies, you see. The philosophy is you're either fasting or you're feasting. And during that feasting window, you're making absolutely sure you get all those vital nutrients in.
Okay, so it's about the timing.
Exactly. Common examples you've probably heard of are the popular 16.8 method. That's 16 hours fasting with an 8-hour feasting window.
Right.
Or maybe the 5.2 approach, where you eat normally 5 days a week and have 2 fasting days. Some people even do things like a 3-day fast once a month within that framework. The big benefits generally are reducing inflammation and improving insulin sensitivity.
So, with intermittent fasting, the timing of the meal seems key.
Are there other approaches that sort of build on that or vary this idea of time-restricted eating? What are their unique points?
Yeah, indeed. There's time-restricted eating, which is similar but often involves a much more intense focus on a very specific, shorter eating window. Maybe 8 hours, maybe six, or sometimes even just 4 hours daily. Now, the challenge here, and this was highlighted in the presentation, is actually getting all your necessary daily nutrients, you know, your fruits, veggies, nuts, seeds, packed into such a short time frame, it can feel like a real effort to get it all down.
Get imagine.
Yeah. And while it offers similar benefits to intermittent fasting for inflammation and insulin sensitivity, especially for short-term treatment plans, the naturopath noted the long-term risk of nutrient deficiency is higher because you're doing it every single day. Then we move into prolonged fasting. This is generally considered anything over 3 days, though some definitions actually start it at just 24 hours. Our naturopath even mentioned that familiar childhood thing, the 40-hour famine.
Oh, yeah. The school fundraiser thing, right? Water only.
That's the one. A form of water-only prolonged fasting. Quite common for us Aussies growing up, wasn't it? Anyway, the key mechanism in prolonged fasting is something called autophagy. This is where the real magic happens, apparently. It's your body's ultimate internal recycling program. It literally breaks down old, degenerate, dead, or improperly formed cells and creates brand new stem cells. Our expert called it fabulous for healing, and it typically kicks in really strongly around the 72-hour mark of a fast.
72 hours. 3 days.
Yep. Now, naturally, there are risks. Nutrient deficiencies, fatigue, other side effects. So strict monitoring through blood tests and vital signs is absolutely necessary. Can't stress that enough.
Okay, so given that need for caution with the longer fasts, has research looked into ways to get maybe similar benefits without going completely without food? You mentioned fasting mimicking.
That's right. The fasting mimicking diet, or FMD. This involves a very, very low-calorie diet, typically under 500 calories a day. It's carefully designed to essentially trick your body into thinking it's fasting. It was pioneered by Dr. Walter Longo way back, decades ago, and it's incredibly useful for short-term use, particularly when combined with other treatments like chemo or radiotherapy. It helps enhance the effectiveness of those treatments against the sick cells while simultaneously protecting the healthy ones and giving your immune system a boost. But again, because of the calorie restriction and potential nutrient issues, it's definitely not for long-term use.
Makes sense. Now, what about straight water fasting? You mentioned the 40-hour famine, but longer periods. That sounds intense, and you said controversial.
It is quite controversial, yes. But our naturopath has extensive experience with clients doing fasts from 7, even up to 21 days. However, and this is a huge warning, it is absolutely not for everyone, and it requires strict supervision. The expert really stressed the need for a thorough capacity assessment, comprehensive blood tests, and really in-depth discussions before anyone should even think about it. She mentioned it might take 6 months of preparation before she'd be comfortable with someone attempting even a 3 to 5 day water fast.
Wow, 6 months prep for just a few days. That really underscores the seriousness of it. It sounds like it's peeling back far more than just, you know, your usual HESS routine.
It really is. Think of it like this. If you've got, say, a leak or some dodgy wiring behind your wall, right? You can patch it up, paint over it, but you haven't actually fixed the underlying problem. Water fasting, as the naturopath explained it, is like stripping away all the plasterboard, going right back to the bare bones, the studs, and then building healthy foundations again, using your own newly generated stem cell.
That's a powerful analogy.
It is. And while people obviously lose weight, it's described as a very controlled process, not wasting away. Many actually experience incredible energy and mental clarity after the initial adjustment. Yes, there are definitely days of feeling a bit rough or fatigued, but those are seen as part of the body's cyclical detox and rebuilding phases.
Okay. What about the risks involved there?
Well, risks include electrolyte imbalance, and some muscle loss is possible, particularly in the first 12 hours as your body uses up its glycogen reserves. But there are established protocols like continuing light exercise during the fast to help mitigate these things, and the benefits can be quite remarkable. The experts share this anecdote about a woman whose 7-year-old broken arm, which hadn't knitted properly, completely healed through the autophagy process during a water fast.
That's incredible.
Isn't it? And what's truly fascinating here is the idea that even shorter, repeated water fasts, say 3 days here, maybe 3 days again in a month, they build cumulatively. Our expert even shared this striking rule of thumb. Imagine healing potentially a year's worth of lifestyle damage with just 1 day of water fasting. That really puts the body's capacity into perspective.
A year and a day.
Mm-hmm.
That cumulative effect is really something. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the body's capacity for these intense states, what about dry fasting? That sounds even more extreme. No water at all.
Yes, dry fasting means abstaining from both food and water. Our naturopath was very upfront, admitted it scares the hell out of me, and she has limited personal knowledge of it. She noted it's often more associated with a spiritual alignment rather than purely physical healing. And while it apparently does rapidly increase autophagy, the risks, like severe electrolyte imbalance, are incredibly high. It requires absolute stringent supervision, definitely not something to attempt lightly or without expert guidance.
Right, understood. It's fascinating how the body can adapt and the incredible internal shifts that happen. Beyond the general benefits and the different types of fasts, our expert also shared some really crucial insights into how fasting can specifically interact with major health challenges, like cancer.
Yes, this is a really vital area. The naturopath explained that fasting can offer significant potential benefits for cancer patients, primarily by reducing inflammation, which we know fuels cancer growth, and also by enhancing the effectiveness of conventional treatments like chemotherapy and radiation. The suggested protocol she discussed is quite precise. Ideally, you'd undertake maybe 2 days of calorie-restricted water or possibly juice fasting before the treatment session. Then you continue it on the day of treatment itself. The goal is to hit that 72-hour autophagy mark precisely when the treatment is administered to get the maximum benefit.
So maximizing the impact on the cancer cells.
Exactly. And what's really striking is that this approach can potentially lead to reduced side effects from the treatments, like, for example, less hair loss. It also powerfully supports immune function and can directly promote cancer cell death, that process known as apoptosis.
So the body is actively creating a hostile environment for those sick cells while trying to protect the healthy ones.
Amazing.
Okay, so what actually happens inside us then when we embark on a fast? Our naturopath walked through the timeline. What can someone expect?
Right, the internal journey. In the first 2 days, yeah, you'll definitely feel it. There's hunger, maybe some irritability, you know, getting hangry. Your metabolic rate starts to slow down a bit to conserve energy. Your body begins drawing glycogen stored in your muscles, converting it to fat. And that's when you enter ketosis, your body starts burning fat for energy instead of glucose. You might feel a bit weak, a bit tired during this phase. That's often when people need a good dose of motivation to push through.
The initial hurdle.
Definitely. But then, around the 3-day mark, internally, the magic starts to happen. Now, you might not feel magical on the outside. You might still feel a bit average, maybe just miss the emotional comfort of food. But inside, your body is diving deep into autophagy. It's now actively breaking down old proteins, damaged cells, like in that broken arm example, and rebuilding them into healthy new ones. This process can even contribute to looking more youthful, apparently.
Okay, so internal renovation is underway. Are there physical signs of this?
Oh, yes. Physically, you'll likely notice signs that your body is expelling waste. Things like bad breath, maybe a white coating on your tongue, sometimes sinus issues flaring up. This is because your body is using all four of its organs of elimination, that's sweat, breath, urination, and defecation, to get rid of all that dead, old, sick, toxic stuff. You'll definitely need to adjust your hygiene. Maybe you brush your teeth more often, shower more. The expert likened it to cleaning out a dusty old shed or cupboard. It often gets worse before it gets better.
Right, the clean-out phase.
Exactly. You'll also be producing a lot of ketones, that energy source from fat breakdown. People often measure these to track their ketosis levels. And crucially, your appetite will likely start to suppress around now. This is actually seen as a good sign for, say, 3 to 10 day fasts. It indicates your body is adjusting and doesn't feel the constant need for food. Internally, your digestive system is resting deeply, organs are repairing, and your lymphatic system is busy dumping mucoid waste, often through your nose and sinuses, hence the potential flare-ups. Your colon also softens, allowing old waste to pass more easily, which is why enemas or colonics are often recommended alongside fasting to assist that process.
It really sounds like a deep systemic overhaul, doesn't it? Not just a quick surface cleanse. What happens if you continue beyond that initial 3-day mark, say, into the first week?
By 1 week in, so around 7 to 10 days, your energy levels typically rise quite significantly, and mental clarity often improves dramatically. It's quite a common report. Interestingly, old injuries might even temporarily flare up or irritate you before they properly heal as the body gets to work on deep, long-standing repairs. You might get sore and puffy legs sometimes, especially if you're standing a lot, so gentle movement is still important. And internally, your lymphocytes, those are a type of immune cell, are very active, breaking down damaged cells. This indicates your healing efficiency is really optimal at this stage.
So the body's really hitting its stride in terms of repair.
Pretty much. And if you push into extended fasting like week 3 or 4 and beyond, your body becomes highly adapted and incredibly efficient at running on ketones and self-repair. You'll still likely experience cycles feeling tired and toxic as waste is released, followed by periods of high energy and clarity as healing progresses. The body is constantly striving for homeostasis, balancing pH levels, nerve function, everything. But again, I have to reiterate, this level of fasting absolutely requires caution and professional supervision.
It truly highlights the body's innate wisdom, its incredible capacity to self-repair given the chance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which brings us to a really critical point. If you do embark on this journey, how do you safely and effectively break your body out of a fast? Breaking the fast.
Yes. This is perhaps the most important part, actually. And it's where so many people apparently stumble. Our naturopath couldn't emphasize enough that how you break a fast is just as crucial, if not more so, than the fast itself. Many people make the mistake of overeating too quickly. They overload a digestive system that's been completely resting, which can lead to sickness, discomfort, or just rapidly regaining any toxicity and weight they might have lost. She even shared a personal story, quite a detrimental experience, of having a large pub meal right after a 5-day water fast. Her body just, well, it did not appreciate it one bit.
Ouch, I can imagine. So what's the right way?
The recommended reintroduction protocol is slow, gentle, and gradual. A good general rule of thumb is to match your juice days to your water fast days. So if you did a 5-day water fast, you'd plan for about 5 days of reintroducing with juices first. You start with very diluted juices, then move to regular juices, and then broths. Vegetable broths are excellent for reintroducing vital minerals gently. After that, small amounts of soft, raw fruits like maybe tomato or avocado.
Okay, very light to start.
Very light. The next stage involves bringing in probiotic foods. Things like natural yogurt, sauerkraut, miso, kefir to help rebuild your healthy gut bacteria, which gets altered during a fast. Then you can introduce lightly steamed green vegetables or maybe raw if your digestion feels up to it. Simple light salad dressings, maybe just lemon juice and salt, perhaps with some mashed avocado are preferred over heavy oils initially. The very last stage, only after progressing carefully through the others, would be things like grains, beans, lentils, nuts, and eggs. This whole process takes time. A 3-week fast could easily mean at least 3 weeks of careful, gradual reintroduction.
That makes perfect sense. A gentle reawakening for the whole system. But who should really avoid fasting altogether, or at least opt for a much more modified approach? Are there contraindications?
Absolutely, and this is crucial information. It's definitely not for everyone. The naturopath highlighted several scenarios where fasting is generally not recommended. If you have a very low body weight, for instance, a full water fast isn't usually appropriate. A juice fast might be a better alternative as it still gives the digestive system a break but provides some necessary calories. For cancer patients experiencing something called cachexia, that's a severe muscle and weight wasting syndrome, fasting is counterproductive. They absolutely need nutritional support, not restriction. Diabetics, or some cancer patients, also need to be very cautious, especially with high fruit juices due to the sugar content potentially disrupting blood sugar control.
Okay, so specific conditions need careful thought. What about medications?
Big one. If you're on regular medications, water fasting can interfere significantly. The expert strongly advises consulting your doctor first, potentially to reduce or even get off certain medications before fasting. You don't want to be taking potentially toxic substances or medications that require food on an empty resting system. And crucially, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, fasting is a definite no-go. You're naturally in a detoxification state during fasting, and you absolutely don't want those mobilized toxins transferring to the baby. The clear advice was eat and eat and eat.
Right. Safety first, always. It seems there are so many different pathways to supporting the body's natural detox processes, not just strict fasting. We heard mentions of fasting retreats, different approaches.
Yes, fasting retreats are quite popular globally now. But the advice was, it's really vital to research who is running them, make sure they're qualified and experienced. While they can sometimes seem expensive, often because, well, they aren't feeding you much, they often include integrated therapies like yoga, breathwork, mindfulness sessions, and educational talks. These things keep you engaged and supported beyond just the physical act of fasting itself.
A more holistic approach.
Exactly. Our naturopath also compared different detox approaches based on their intensity and speed, which I found interesting. The fastest way to detox, she stated, is a water fast. A faster way might be juice fasting or significant calorie restriction, though she did point out the quite considerable time and cost involved in juicing all those vegetables compared to the simplicity, essentially the freeness, of water fasting. Then there's what she called the fast way, which involves consistent, healthy lifestyle choices, regular exercise, and maybe targeted supplements like nanocurcumin. She mentioned this can rapidly improve things like fatty liver and abnormal liver function tests, and it's very affordable compared to retreats. But even that requires water and movement for absorption. It really comes down to different horses for courses, doesn't it? Choosing the right method for your unique circumstances, your health status, your budget, your time. And one final, but really significant aspect of fasting that often gets overlooked is the emotional and mental side of things. As the body clears physical toxins, the brain often clears too. This can bring up deep-seated emotions, things like anger, sadness, jealousy, even old memories surfacing. It can be a powerful emotional release, almost like a mental detox. And having support during this process is incredibly important. Oh, and for heavy metal detoxification specifically, she mentioned water fasting is effective, as are consuming lots of dark green, chlorophyll-rich foods. But crucially, you also need to address the source of the heavy metals, whether that's old mercury fillings or maybe airborne pollutants you're breathing in.
What an incredible deep dive into the world of fasting. It's so clear. It's not just one single monolithic practice, is it? It's a whole spectrum of approaches, each with its own unique benefits, its precise protocols, and some really strict considerations for safety. It truly underscores the amazing, almost unbelievable, innate capacity of the human body to heal itself when given the right conditions.
Absolutely. And the core principle here, really, as in all aspects of health, is that knowledge is most valuable when it's truly understood, you know, and then applied appropriately to your unique situation. Critical thinking about any health information you come across is just so key.
So true. So after hearing all of this today, what stands out to why you listening? What perhaps feels like a potential path or even just a point of curiosity for your own well-being? And as you reflect on that, maybe consider this. If the body really does have such an incredible inbuilt capacity to self-repair and regenerate with just strategic rest, what small, maybe sustainable rests could you perhaps introduce into your daily life to support that natural wisdom? Something to think about. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive. We look forward to diving in again with you next time.